I was somehow asked by Rob to preach today because there was nobody else. And we stay at the end of Christmas season. And I wanted to come back to the book of John at the beginning, the prologue, saying that it's not in those three other Gospels, because three other Gospels start with incarnation of Jesus. But here is something what speaks about equality of Jesus to God. And if I come back to the John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made than he has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So here we hear that God is light. And through born of Jesus, it materializes. It becomes a flesh. And as I'm not English native speaker, word flesh is always unclear to me. Because I think it's not exactly body as the shape, but it's more the material. How I understand it and how I was reading about it, that this is how it should be translated from Greek, in which it was originally. And what happens? God is coming to us as a person. It's not anymore just the word, as it was before. And it's not a person who is somebody who is a man who has lots of strength and sword and kill anybody. It's newborn, it's infant, showing vulnerability. That's one thing. And here I'm coming back to the point which I think I mentioned when I was preaching for the first time many years ago here, that life is kind of unfair. If you are a small child, all women loves you. This is how it works. If when you are newborn and you all friends of your mother love you and you have to do nothing for that, your heart is simply just so open that it happens. And in adult age, you have to work hard on it and it never happen again. Maybe it can, but and I'll be speaking a little bit about the process, but I think it's not so simple as it was in the very beginning of our days here. And now, that was the first part, that was John. As the second, I choose scripture for Epiphany, which is tomorrow. I was searching for that, what's in the scripture about it in the Bible, and this is the only part which is there. So any other details you know about it, our tradition. So everybody here in Czech Republic can tell you all three names that the kings were free. You can get names, and everybody, almost everybody, will tell you that one of them was black. This is tradition how it is here. I don't know how it is in other parts of the world. And I was searching for that, and it says there is belief that they were free because they brought free gifts. Some other churches say they were 12. Again, as tradition, and why they were kings? Were they kings, or were they magi, or were they wise men? Who they were? Again, there is not too much written about it, and the expectation that they were kings is coming from Old Testament, that Jesus, when he is coming to this world, he will be praised by kings. And that's why the church in probably first century or later, I'm not sure I remember it well, started to see them as kings, but they were not probably rulers of anything. So keep in mind that not everything what we believe in comes from scripture. Part of that is tradition, and the tradition can be different in different churches. And the main message of this is that Jesus is first time in front of the world, in front of people. People can see God as the infant, as the three wise men came, three magi. So it says God wants to be seen. And somehow this brought me back to Aaron's preaching here not so long time ago, when he was saying, you can be the only Bible people will ever read. That's the same message And I think it's coming from here. And now let's come to the main part of that, what I chose, that was the scripture on reconciliation coming from 2 Corinthians. I will read it again. Can you please find it, 2 Corinthians? It's there. Okay, thank you. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And word reconciliation, I first time met when I was in church in South Carolina. And after quite some time, I concluded, I have to start completely thinking in English, otherwise I will die because it's too much energy consuming for my brain to translate everything to Czech. And the word reconciliation came to me, and I had no idea what it means. Because maybe I had it in school in English classes, but I forgot it. And reconciliation, to me, had energy that something, when if there is somewhere tension here, it relaxes. This is how I felt it in the church from people in the Methodist church in Central, in South Carolina. And it was a strong impact on me that there is a word which speaks to me. I have no idea what it means, but it changes who I am. So reconciliation and is a process in which, by which, we somehow search for peace or inner peace. Is it correct explanation? Because Czech, if we would search through Czech words, words peace and reconciliation would be connected, and English works differently with that. And here, what is said that through Jesus, through Christ, we become reconciled with God. But the other question which came to me and which I remembered from South Carolina was that somebody was speaking, I reconciled something inside me. So it means, that I was thinking about it, that there can be some parts of us which are not in peace. Something contradicts something, maybe we have some experience saying, this should be so, other experiencing, it should be so. In my childhood, I had one set of grandparents who believed in something, the others in something else, and I had no idea how it should be. Are these ones right, or these ones, or both of them wrong? Or is this valid just for some situation? I keep it, how do I understand it? And what's the process of reconciliation then? Maybe it can be touching one belief and second belief, and finding, should I keep them both? Should I keep just one? Or should I trash both? And this is something what I believe we can do actively. And last year I wanted to buy a new English Bible. And I wanted to get something representative, what is practical. And the only mistake is that the point, that the size of print is 5.3. I can read it, but I can read it when I'm not nervous. Which means there is something inside me what can come to peace, but I can myself. Firstly, I have to force myself to peace when nervosity leaves, and then I can read it. And if I don't do that, it's too small. I have already ordered same style Bible, which has print 9.3 and has not been delivered yet, which I did on the December 23rd, But keep in mind that if something works only when we are not nervous, there can be some running processes inside us which disturb us, and reconciliation is probably the process how to find what is disturbing us, what should be switched off. And I'm coming back to one more thing. I said God is light at the beginning, coming from John. And when I was preaching some time ago, probably in summer, it was on Transfiguration of Jesus, if you remember. I was speaking that I'm singing in a choir, in Polish speaking choir here, and there is something what those people there have, and I did not have it. And I called it at the sermon a healthy extravagancy, speaking about there can be something healthy inside us and we can let it shine. That's the light of God which goes through the darkness. On the other hand, there is something what is not healed yet inside us. It's dark, and if we let this work, it can be healed. And the last thing which was coming to me now was, you know, one thing is looking on this all from the perspective of Christianity, scripture, and the other thing is that how to handle these nervosities from the perspective of psychotherapy. Psychology, psychotherapy, something like that. And if you come to psychologist, you will probably get information. You are somehow connected with all your past identities. It's somewhere inside. To some of them you are connected, some of them you love, some life seasons you dislike, you pressed it somewhere, and then it comes here, and it can be the nervosity. I think it can be so. Not exactly in this case, but as the principle. And there was a question coming to me. There is probably also identity of newborn infant inside me. Do I love it? Am I in connection with that? Can I imagine to love the newborn Jesus and through that to see love to the newborn of me? And then I came back to Mark 12:30-31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself. And if the light of God and that healthy extravagancy story, let shine what's healthy inside you, if the light should come from the deepest shells of our soul, it should be, in my opinion, the moment when we were born. So the message from me for today, let's think about loving the newborn inside each of us, so the dark in outer shells may become light. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.